Facing Life's Challenges with Godly Wisdom, Class 6, Self-Worth. This week's comments include, I feel like I am not good enough or godly enough to be loved. I really struggle with self-worth and feeling needed and included. I feel guilty and have a lot of shame. How can God still love me? Did you catch how many times feel or something related to feeling came up in those comments? The reality is, feelings can betray us. Feelings can be manipulated. Feelings are often short-lived and are not the basis for much of what we do as Christians. But knowing this doesn't change the fact that we have great capacity for emotion. It doesn't change how we feel. Many Christians ask questions like, why do I feel so worthless? Why do I feel so down? Why do I feel so bad about myself? To those feelings, I offer these facts. Number one, all Christians have great God-given worth. Number two, all Christians have a great God-given purpose in life. And number three, all Christians have great God-given blessings. I want you to see that in yourself as a Christian. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3 says, For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. We shouldn't think of ourselves too highly, but we shouldn't think of ourselves too lowly either. With sober and correct judgment of ourselves, we should see ourselves as God sees us. We should see ourselves correctly. We often address the temptation of arrogance or pride. But what about the other extreme, where we see ourselves as worth little and capable of little? Loved one, God calls us to be humble, not timid, to be meek, not insecure, to be confident, not uncertain, to be faithful servants, not useless prisoners. Many Christians are filled with uncertainty and doubt, insecurity in who they are or what they're doing. Some feel inadequate, unable to accomplish anything, or even depressed. Some would describe it as feeling worthless or empty. Is that the attitude and outlook a Christian should have? Notice a few verses for me and the emphasis on what we have in Christ. Philippians 3 and verse 14, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Romans 8, 37, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Ephesians 3 and verse 12, in Christ we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Ephesians 6, 10 and 11, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. This is not self-esteem or arrogance, but fulfillment, confidence, and assigning to ourselves proper value. It is knowing that who I am and my life is worthwhile, meaningful, and important, that I have worth that comes from Christ. Paul goes on to say in verses 4 through 8 of Romans 12, to explain that we all have roles in the body in the church, for as we have many members in the body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Paul emphasizes that you have the God-given ability and the responsibility to do what you can and do it well. Do it well because you have the ability to do it, and there is no other way to do it but well. Does that sound like a lack of confidence, a lack of self-worth? You have value. You're needed. Just don't inflate yourself where you think you're better than other parts of the body. That's the biblical picture. But there are many sinful ways people try to find worth and meaning, where they try and fill their life with something that gives them value. And sometimes it is filling their lives with things that are inherently sinful, like greed or fulfilling or causing lust or power or overindulgence or substance abuse and the like. But sometimes it's just the twisting and overemphasizing of things that are inherently good. Learning and education, family and romantic relationships, diligence and hard work, fulfilling the expectations of others. But true worth does not begin here. The Christian should know that true worth is found in being in Christ, not artificial self-esteem, quote-unquote. Self-esteem, if it's not based on anything tangible, is hollow. We are not talking about empty platitudes of worth where we puff ourselves up artificially. No, this is real. So here are three real reasons every Christian should have great worth. As we said earlier, number one, you are valued by God. What has God done for us? Well, He created us in His image. He knows us personally. He loves us personally. And He gave all for us, including His Son. 1 Corinthians 7 verse 23 says, "You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men." In our culture, as was the case in so many others throughout history, the ultimate value of something is determined by the question, how much does it cost? So how much did you cost God? Well, Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19, knowing that you, Christians, were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We can be assigned a value, but it's something that doesn't have a physical value. It is the precious blood of Christ, and God was willing to give, to pay that price for all who would be willing to come to Him. But as you become a Christian, you realize you have even value beyond that. Everyone can say Christ died for them so that they might have the opportunity for salvation. But in the next chapter, Peter takes God's value for you as a Christian a step further. In 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10, he says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people." Royal, chosen, His own special people. That's what you are as a Christian. Start acting like it. You are valued by God. Number two, why you should have self-worth. You have a God-given purpose in this life in two ways. Number one, God has a purpose for your life. Psalm 138 and verse 8. David says, "The Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands." As God would fulfill His purpose for David, so too He will fulfill His purpose for us if we allow Him. He will not forsake the work of His hands. But secondly, we all have things we're supposed to be doing as disciples of Christ, things God has entrusted into our care, things we're supposed to be doing for the world, and things we're supposed to be doing for our brethren. Jesus describes our purpose for the world in this way in Matthew chapter 5, 13 through 16. "You, Christians, are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how shall it be seasoned? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Beloved, the lost need you. They need your salt to make the world a better place. They need your light to draw them to Jesus. And the church needs you too. You have a role in the body. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12 says, "And He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some shepherds and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ." Now, we aren't apostles or prophets, but some of us are evangelists, shepherds, and teachers, and all of us are saints who are supposed to be doing the work of the ministry and building up the body of Christ. God has given us these responsibilities. What an honor and a grave duty He's given us. And he's given us the ability to fulfill those responsibilities. In the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, 14 through 30, you see lots of things in that parable that are based on ability. But what you do not see is the zero talent servant, the person with no ability. You have a purpose in life and in the church, and God has given you the ability to do so. And many of our problems come when we stop doing what we're supposed to be doing and start moping. Do God's work in God's way, and you'll feel good about yourself. Did you think to pray? How can we be swallowed up with despair when laying it all at our Father's feet? Did you take time to study and meditate? Trouble with negative thinking? Fill your mind with the things that are pure and lovely and of good report. Fill it with study and with song and worship. Did you think of someone else? Call, write, go by, smile and talk to someone. Ask them how they're doing and really care to know. Volunteer to do what you can in service to someone else. Remind yourself, Christian, what you're supposed to be doing, and then do it, and you will be on the road to finding that worth. Number three, you have self-worth because you have God-given blessings in your life. We have been abundantly blessed. No matter the physical circumstances of my life, I am blessed. Two passages I have memorized that I repeat with great frequency. The first is Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And then Ephesians 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. We need to remember the blessings instead of dwelling on the problems. When reminded of our blessings, how can I think that my life isn't any good or that I have it so bad, that God doesn't care for me or love me, or that I have no worth in this world? Christian, hear me clearly. You are loved by God, and you are loved by his people. You are needed in the church and the world. You are included in God's family, and you are forgiven by the blood of the Lamb. You have great worth. All Christians should know they have great worth because you are valued by God, you have a God-given purpose in life, and you have God-given blessings in your life. So, here are some questions to think about before class this Sunday. Number one, how do you battle feelings that you know aren't true, aren't reality? Number two, how do you see yourself more as God sees you? Specifically, if you've struggled with self-worth, how do you go about seeing yourself and your worth more as God sees it? Number three, what things should we all be doing for others in the world who aren't our brethren? Number four, what things should we all be doing for our brethren? Number five, what verses can you memorize to remind yourself of your blessings and value? And number six, what other things can you do to remind yourself of your blessings? May God bless us as we face life's challenges with godly wisdom.